Good morning.
It is good to be with you all here this morning. You can go ahead, if you have your Bibles, and turn over to John chapter 13. John 13, and we'll be reading there in just a few minutes. It is good to be with you here this morning. Good to worship the Lord together and to spend a little bit of time studying His Word. We're going to talk this morning about being like Jesus. You know, in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 29, Paul says that God predestined for His people that they would be conformed to the image of His Son. And so if you're already a Christian here this morning, that is what God has called you to be. If you're a Christian here this morning, God has called you to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be like His Son, to be more and more like Him. That's our goal. That should be our focus. So I'll ask, how are we doing with that? I've spent some time recently, you know, reflecting on this for myself. That's really the origin of this lesson. Thinking about this for myself, and why is it that I'm falling short, I'm struggling with this, I'm really just losing focus on this goal, just in my everyday life, this goal of being like Jesus. And it can be kind of hard to pinpoint that really as to why, even in my own self-reflection, but I think it may be a couple things, and maybe you think something similar, but maybe sometimes we just don't feel adequate for it. We just feel inadequate. We think about how Jesus is perfect. He's the Son of God. We're so imperfect. I know how weak I am and how often I mess up. And I just think like that there's just no reason for me to strive to be like Him. It's just, for me, it's just not possible. You know, I do the best I can. Do good things. I try to do what's right. But trying to be like Jesus, it's just, there's no point for me. Or maybe we think something more like this. Okay, I read about Jesus in the Scriptures, and I just have a hard time applying that to my life in 2021. You know, I mean, Jesus was never married, never had kids. You know, He was never a single parent trying to raise three kids. He didn't go through the same things as a teenager that I'm going through. You know, He didn't have to work two jobs to make ends meet, or, you know, the circumstances that are going on in my life, I can't look in the Scriptures and see Jesus going through that. So I have trouble applying it to my life. And so maybe I lose heart or lose focus because of that. Well, I want to spend some time this morning looking at what Jesus Himself said about His disciples being like Him. And my only hope or intent for this lesson is that by doing that, by looking at what Jesus Himself had to say about His disciples being like Him, that would just give us greater confidence and sharpen our focus in our day-to-day life on our goal of being like Jesus. We'll start, I'm going to look at a passage here in Luke. Luke chapter 6 and verse 40, it's up here on the screen, and I think this was our theme verse for the year, for this congregation, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." So Jesus says that a disciple can be like their teacher. I think the implication here is that His disciples can be like their teacher, like Him. But what does He say it takes? He says, they're fully trained. So does it sound like something that happens, you know, the moment you decide to follow Jesus or the moment you put Him on in baptism that you immediately become just like Him? Or does it sound like something that may take some time, some growth, some training? Some translations say be perfected instead of fully trained. Does it sound like something that does take some time and some growth? I think He's telling His disciples that this is something that takes time. It takes work. It may not be easy for us or natural for us, but we want to learn, and we're giving our best, we're giving our all, because that's what we want. And so we are training throughout our lives, maybe years and years of our lives, to be more like Him. We're striving for that. It's not something that happens immediately. So if you're someone here this morning and all you can focus on is, you know, Jesus is perfect, I'm imperfect, and that's, you know, causing some paralysis in your life to even trying to become more like Jesus, understand He says it's going to take some time. There's training that's involved in becoming more like Him. But you may say, well, okay, that sounds good, but I still don't know how. I still don't know what to do. Well, in the rest of the lesson, really the focus is going to be on, we're going to look at three instances where Jesus is pretty specific about His disciples being like Him. Really, the only three instances that I can see where Jesus is specific, as in, you know, I've given you this example for you to follow, or do this as I've done it, or as this has happened to me, it will happen to you. Really, the only three instances where I can see Him saying that. You may think of another once we're done here. Please let me know. But I think by looking at these three, I want to see what Jesus says about it, and I think there's a lot to learn. And I'll acknowledge that there's certainly much more we could read about Jesus in the Scriptures, about His example that we could follow. But again, want to hone in on these three, because I think there's a lot that we can learn. Let's look first in John chapter 13, if you're already there. John chapter 13. And I'm not going to read this whole account beginning at the beginning of this chapter, but you're probably familiar with this story. Jesus is near the end of His life, and He is at supper with His disciples, and John describes here around verse 4 and 5, Jesus gets up from supper, He takes off His outer garments, He takes a towel, takes water, and He begins to wash the disciples' feet. And I probably don't need to describe to you how dirty one's feet would have been, especially back then. But He begins to wash their feet. And let's pick up and read beginning with verse 12. John 13, beginning with verse 12, says, "When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Okay, so He says that I've given you an example for you to follow. So what is the example for them to follow? You know, is it Jesus and his you know, top-notch foot washing techniques that He's demonstrating for them? You know, we don't even wash each other's feet today. That's not something you see very often, right? So what could this passage possibly have to do with me today? Let's hone in again on verse 14. And notice the emphasis Jesus places here in verse 14. He says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So if the Lord and teacher is stooping down to perform this lowly task, this lowest task of servitude, then how much more should they, or should we, be willing to do the same? Because the servant is not greater than the master, He says. So if the master is coming down here and performing task of a servant, then, you know, what is the servant? Something lower than a servant? And how much more should they be willing to do the same things that the master is stooping down to do? The example here is that we would serve like Jesus. Be willing to be a servant like Him. You know, you think about all the amazing things that Jesus did while He was on the earth. You know, He raised people from the dead. He walked on water. He healed the blind and the lame and the sick. And He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And He didn't ask us to do any of that, did He? What He asked us to do is to serve others, to serve like Him, to not think that there is anything that is beneath us, that we're not above doing anything, to serve others. We're willing to take on the lowest task in serving others. And so, I guess here's the challenge I'll issue to all of us. Can we do this? Can we wash the feet of others? Can you become a servant that doesn't think that anything is below you? And you're looking constantly for ways to serve others, no matter how small it is, no matter how low you have to stoop to do it. Can you do that? You know, there are opportunities in this congregation to wash the feet of one another here. Opportunities that are not glamorous, probably won't be known to that many people, may not be known to anyone. Opportunities that may tempt us to think, I'm just not sure that's worth my time. I don't think that's worth my effort. You know, thankfully, we already have so many here who are seizing those opportunities and who are washing the feet of others here. And in doing that, they are being like their master. They're being like Jesus. I don't mean to suggest that this is something that's easy, but is this something that we can train ourselves on, like he said back in Luke 6? Something that you can focus on each day and train yourselves for this, where it will become more and more natural and easier for you? I think it's something we can. It's a challenge for all of us, but I think it's a challenge that we can all accept. I want to look at another passage related to this, probably a familiar passage from Philippians chapter 2. This is Paul speaking here, and I'll read it off the screen. He says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So Paul brings up Christ as a servant, again, the servant that we saw back in John chapter 13. And what was Christ's mindset or his attitude when he became a servant? Well, Paul describes it as he emptied himself. He emptied himself. Do you suppose there's a lesson there for us as we look to become servants like him? Well, Paul thinks so, because he tells the Philippians, he says, have this mind among yourselves. So he connects, you know, Christ emptying himself with this mind that he wants the Philippians to have. So what does it look like to empty yourself? You know, what is this mind he wants them to have? What does it look like actually lived out? Well, I think that's where verses 3 and 4 come in. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Do you want to become a servant like Jesus? Then that is the attitude that we have to have. To looking to the interest of others, putting others ahead of ourselves. You know, maybe you think about what we read in John 13, and you still struggle wondering how that applies to your daily life. Maybe you think, you know, sometimes opportunities to serve are presented to me, and I usually help, but they're not presented to me that often, and it's just not really a part of my everyday life. Let me ask you, this attitude, this mentality of putting others first, putting their interests first, is that something you can take with you every day? It absolutely is. And will it impact your marriage, how you are as parents? Will it impact how you behave at school or behave at work? Certainly. And in doing that, in taking on that attitude, I think you'll find a lot more opportunities to serve than maybe you ever thought existed. Because you're looking to the interest of others. And so you will find those opportunities to wash the feet of others. So can we empty ourselves like our Lord the servant did? Again, I don't mean to say that this is something that's easy to do and just snap your fingers and we become like this, but is this something that you can focus on? To have this attitude that Paul mentions here as we grow to be more and more like our Master, like Christ Jesus. Let's think about another one. In the same chapter, John 13. Just so happened this was our scripture reading this morning. That was just by coincidence. But John 13, look down at verse 34. Where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So again, we see Jesus saying, do this as I've done it. In this case, as I have loved you, you are to love one another. He actually goes even further, saying, like, that's actually how, you know, it's going to characterize you as my disciples, by how you love one another as I have loved you. So the big question becomes, well, how did Jesus love? And we could certainly do an entire sermon. We could do multiple sermons on that. But let's think about a few things just for a few minutes. One, flip over just a couple chapters to John chapter 15. Just two chapters over, John 15, and look there beginning with verse 12. John 15, beginning with verse 12, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Okay, repeats what he said in 13. All right, look at verse 13 now. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." What love is he talking about? He's talking about loving sacrificially. Loving sacrificially. Now, this may be the point where you say, I mean, there's just no way for me to love sacrificially in the way that Jesus did. I mean, he loved us so much where he gave himself, he sacrificed himself on a cross for the sins of the whole world. How can I possibly love sacrificially like Jesus did? Well, I want to look at something again that Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 5, probably a familiar passage again, talking about marriage. And this is not a lesson on marriage, but I want you to notice as we read it on the screen here, the analogy Paul chooses to use and how he wants them to, the application he wants them to draw from that analogy. Look here on the screen, Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 25, where Paul says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church." You see the analogy he chose to use here? Paul talks about Christ, his love for the church, his sacrificial love. He gave himself up for her. And so what's the application for husbands? That they would go and die for their wives to show their love for them? No, but to live for their wives, to nourish and cherish her, to love her like he loves his own body, present her in splendor, help her to be holy, lift her up. Can a husband live for his wife sacrificially without having to actually die for her? Well, of course he can. That's what he says here in this passage. Look, the same chapter, first verse, or first couple verses there, Paul says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Again, Christ loved, gave himself up. What's the application? Walk in love, or live in love. Be kind to each other. Forgive one another, as the verse just before this says. Can we live like that? Can we live putting others first, being willing to forgive, being kind? We can live with a love that's sacrificial. And in doing that, maybe our love is not to the extent or the impact of Jesus and His love, but we are loving in the same manner that Jesus did. Now, how else did Jesus love? Well, look at a passage here in Matthew 5 where Jesus is not talking about Himself, but look at what He has to say here. This is Jesus speaking in Matthew 5. He says, "You've heard it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Again, Jesus not talking about Himself, but look what He says here. He says, if we can learn to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, we're actually becoming like God. Becoming like God the Father. And if we're becoming like God the Father, we're certainly becoming more like Jesus. Look at the last verse here again. He says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." If you remember back Luke 6, remember the passage we looked at first. You know, some translations use that word, instead of fully trained, they say to be perfected. Well, part of this growing to be perfect or be complete is that we would learn to love those who are unlovable, to love our enemies, to love those who may mistreat us. And that's difficult, right? That's certainly difficult. But is that something that we can focus on in our everyday life? I think it is. And in doing so, we're loving like Jesus. You know, there's not that many references in the Gospels or in the Scriptures of specific individuals that Jesus loved. I know Jesus certainly loved all people, loves all people. But as far as specific references to Jesus loving this person, there's not that many. There's the disciple whom Jesus loved, who we know to be the Apostle John. There's Lazarus and Mary and Martha, Jesus' close friends. But then there's a young man who comes to Jesus in Mark chapter 10. We don't even know his name. He comes to Jesus in Mark 10 and he's asking Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And after telling Jesus how he's, you know, obeyed the commandments since he was young, Mark says that he says Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. You're better than most of the people that I see." That would have been a loving thing to say, right? No, it says that he looked at him, loved him, and said, "One thing you lack. Sell all you have and give to the poor." And it says he went away sorrowful. You know, Jesus, I believe Mark is the only writer who, several record this account, but he's the only writer who records that little detail of Jesus loving him. And it's as if Mark wants us to see that it was out of his love for him that he told him what he needed to hear to draw closer to God. That's the love that Jesus showed this young man. And it makes me wonder, can we love each other like that? Do I love you enough to where if something needs to be said, some truth needs to be pointed out to you, even if it's something unpleasant, do I love you enough? Do I love your soul enough to say that to you? Because I care about you, your soul, more than anything. And so even if it's something unpleasant, I'm willing to point that out. Would you do the same for me? Do you love me that much? Because if not, then we're falling short of the love that Jesus had for His fellow man. This, you know, the kind of love that we've talked about, you know, is all these aspects are just different from the rest of the world, right? The world has taken the idea of love and just twisted it, made it so shallow. So if we love, you know, sacrificially, love those who mistreat us, you're willing to say whatever needs to be said, do whatever needs to be done to help one another draw closer to God, that love sticks out from the world, right? And Jesus said it would. He said that's what would characterize His disciples. And so if we love like this, we're becoming more and more like Him. And, you know, these are things we can focus on as we go to work and go to school and as we're here among one another. Those are things that we can focus on. And again, not easy, but let's strive for those things in our daily lives. Let's talk about one more. John 15 and verse 18. John 15, read with me beginning with verse 18. Where Jesus says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. So if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." And this one's a little bit different, because it's not Jesus saying, do this as I've done it, or here's my example to follow. But He says, if you're going to be like me, you're going to be treated as I'm treated. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Why? Because I'm not of the world. You're not of the world, Jesus says to them, because we're different. And so the treatment from the world will not be good. So if we want to be like Jesus, be His disciple, follow after Him like He called us to do, you know, it's more than just doing the things that Jesus did, but it means that we're going to follow Him down the same difficult road that He went down. You know, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head, Jesus said. And He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. That's His call to discipleship, that we would suffer like Him. And you may be challenged here this morning thinking that, okay, there's no way that I can suffer like Jesus. There's no way I can go through the suffering that Jesus did. And you'd be right. Because aside from all the physical pain Jesus went through and the mental and emotional pain and anguish He went through, no one has ever suffered as unjustly and wrongfully as Jesus did. No one has. And so how did he handle it? Well, again, we're going to go, Peter can help us out here, as he describes in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read here again off the screen. He says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in His mouth. When He was reviled, did not revile in return. And when He suffered, He did not threaten, but continued entrusting Himself to Him who judges justly." You know, Peter, he's pretty explicit, right? About Christ has left us an example to follow when He suffered. And when He suffered for the good He did, and He suffered unjustly, and He was reviled, did not revile in return, He did not threaten. You know, how are we to follow His example? Well, there's a couple things here, I think. One is, when you do good and suffer for it, when the good you do is actually the cause of your suffering, He says it's a gracious thing in the sight of God. Do we encounter that in our everyday lives? You take a stand or you do something good, and that actually becomes the cause of difficulty or suffering for you? Sure, that can come up, right? So that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. And when that happens, do we suffer patiently? Do we, when we're reviled, do we not revile in return? Are we not bitter? Don't threaten. If we handle it like that, we are handling suffering like Jesus did. We're suffering like He did, and we're handling suffering like He did. There's also, He says, when one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. So maybe not, the good we do is not the cause of our suffering, but we're still suffering unjustly. We're still suffering, and it's no fault of our own. That happens all the time, right? There's nothing we've done to deserve this, yet we're still going through difficulty and suffering. Well, when that happens, do we continue to do good even through that suffering? Do we continue to endure it and continue to do good? Look at the example He actually uses here in the context. In verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. So, whether your master is good or he's unjust, I mean, an unjust master, probably through no fault of the servant, but they're just being mistreated by the master. What are they told to do? Be subject to your masters. Continue to do what you know is right, even through that suffering. If we do that, we're suffering like Jesus, and we're responding to that suffering like Jesus. Again, talk about something that's not easy, going through this. It's not easy. But takes time, growth, training, focus. I think it's something we can work on. We can strive towards. Because we encounter these things in our lives all the time. And we can work towards this. If we can suffer like Peter describes, we can be like Christ. There's, again, certainly more to Jesus' example that we could look at that we haven't talked about. But again, the intent of this lesson is fairly simple, really. By looking at what we've looked at today, just to take confidence, an additional focus to strive to be like Jesus each and every day, wherever we are in our various circumstances of life. It's something that we can do. It's something we've been called to do. And so I would encourage you to continue to train towards that. I suppose it's a good question whenever thinking about this is, how close can someone actually get to being like Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? You know, Jesus, if He's up here and we're down here and we're striving, we're working, and we're trying to get up there, how close can someone actually get to being like Jesus? And it's kind of hard to feel certain about an answer to that. But think about some of the things we've talked about this morning. Serving like Jesus, loving like Jesus, suffering like Jesus. And we've talked about how these things are just, they're unnatural and they're difficult. But do you think through training, through going through it, that after a while it may become easier and easier and more natural for us? To the point where it may even get to a point where it's almost instinctual. That we're looking for ways to serve, and we're loving in the ways we talked about, and we respond to suffering in the way Jesus did. It becomes almost instinctual or second nature. I think that's maybe after many years, that's something we can get close to. And if we do that, we are, I think, as close to being like Jesus as man possibly can, whatever that answer would be. You know, what I do know is what 1 John says. The Apostle John says in 1 John 3 and verse 2, where he says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." I do know the outcome of those who are striving to be like Jesus. It's that one day you will be. You will be in a way that's more glorious than I could explain or we could probably even comprehend. That's our hope, that one day we would become like Him when He appears in glory. So, you know, how can we not think about this each and every day? We're called to become like Him. He's given us this example to follow in our daily lives, and one day when He appears again, we will be like Him. You know, this has really been a message this morning, I guess primarily for Christians. But, you know, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, I want you just to consider Jesus. Consider the Jesus that we have talked about this morning. How he did humble himself, became obedient even to the point of dying on a cross. He loves you. He loves you enough to sacrifice himself on that cross for you. And he's asked you to follow him. He wants you to follow him. And if you decide to do that, again, it will be a road with some difficulty. Jesus said it would be. But as a disciple of his, you will become more and more like him. And you can have that same hope of one day when he appears being like him. Won't you decide to become a Christian this morning? Maybe there's someone here who has strayed from the Lord and need to return. You can certainly do that as well this morning. If we can be of any assistance, if either be your case, please come forward as we stand and sing.